You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans. Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. This is episode number 83. My name is Brad Chandler. With me tonight, I have my co-hosts, Hogdale and Brady. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Feeling ecstatic for a pretty good reason.
Pretty pumped.
Yeah, I wonder why everybody's pumped up here. We actually have a very special guest with us on this episode. We have Mr. Steve Perrault. How are we doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I got to say that intro is insane. I was not ready for that. The tunes, the sponsor, that was something.
Yeah, the music for the first, the intro was actually done by my 11-year-old nephew. So I was like, I think I actually talked to you about this while we were at Fenway. I'm trying to stay away from the copyrighted stuff, which I guess the High and Happy stuff needs to, I need to get new music for that too. But a buddy of mine reached out to me. He does catering and he was like, hey man, how would you like to help each other out? And I was like, hey man, let's do it. And let me tell you, I don't know if you enjoy the edibles or whatever, but I just went up there on Saturday and I had some very good chicken Alfredo, which left me happy. So,
oh Jesus Christ.
You I ended up leaving high and happy.
It's a tremendous picture.
I wasn't ready for it, but it was impressive. Impressive nonetheless. It was all good stuff. I've never really gotten into the edible game. It used to be basically all my 20s was just drinking Coors Lights, and then now we're into Doc and Stormies, and that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah,
and vodka lemonades at Fenway. I'm obsessed with the vod lemmies.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I can't drink, so I get my.
I got to find a way.
Got to find a different way. I'll have a drink here or there, but edibles, toking, I'm okay with it. All right, so, you were big with Section 10, right? And you just ended up doing your last episode with them. And you're getting ready to do a new venture. You want to tell everybody what that's about?
Yeah, so left Section 10. That was a very hard decision, but Odyssey approached me. They own a lot of sports radio stations around the country, WEEI being one of them. And they have now exclusive podcast rights with Major League Baseball. You know, what that means is basically the teams will give you access to the players. They'll back the show, production support, all that stuff. Basically, everything I was doing for Section 10 while hosting and producing the show, which is nice. The goal is to launch a new Red Sox show in February. We did a casting call looking for co-hosts and that finally just wrapped up and now we're kind of trimming down the candidates, but we'll figure that out in the next couple of months. I'm very excited though. I it's been an awesome few months. I got to say October was a little tricky because my first day with Odyssey was October 4th and they were cool with me sticking with Section 10 until the Red Sox postseason ended. And I'm like, they're going a lot farther than I thought they would. This is getting a little uncomfy. But no, things actually worked out fine.
What just happened?
We got a hockey graphic up. I don't know how that happened.
It was an elaborate trick, Steve. We brought you in to actually talk hockey.
Honestly, I'm loving Braden Point. I just think that he's like the way he cycles the puck is incredible. So I'm definitely down with that.
We're shared through the network, so somebody probably came in and was like, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be in here.
That's funny.
That's all good. So now that we got that out of the way, I guess I'm not getting the job working with you for the Red Sox podcast. Damn.
Get the call back, Gretchen.
You give him like the big spiel about all your edibles, and then you're like, hey, you know who would be fucking great for your show? This guy.
Let me tell you
something.
It's a process trimming the Canada pull down. I'll tell you that much.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure like lots of people were like every other day I was getting a call or a text message or a message. Hey, you do a podcast. Why don't you do this? And I'm like, but moving on, since you started working with the Bleacher Report and EEI, what is your favorite Red Sox moment?
That's a great question. That would be the last 6 years, last seven seasons, favorite Red Sox moment. I mean, outside the obvious, right? Them winning the World Series. Are you saying like a specific like moment for the podcast or just moment for the team?
Moment for you.
Moment for me. Interviewing JD Martinez before game one of the 2018 ALDS. I think that was really cool. We got to talk to JD in the dugout. Before what, you know, you would have to guess was the biggest game of his life coming up there against the Yankees at Fenway, his first year with the team. If Mookie didn't play out of his mind, that would have been an MVP season for JD. That's got to be it. The show was growing at a rapid rate early in that. Like 2018, it just kind of blew up. Everything was really going well. The team was obviously playing out of their minds. We were selling a ton of merch, a lot of Section 10 shirts. We had Citrus Hills F this. You know, we had everything. Everything was awesome, man. Like everything was kind of cruising. And then that just felt like it was like right up there at the pinnacle of that year was getting to talk to JD. We were like, dude, if you can give us 15 minutes, that'd be great. And we were talking to him for 50 minutes, which was awesome. Breaking everything down from his favorite, you know, his go-to Dunkin' Donuts order to, you know, what his favorite times were like in Arizona. And he was loose, man. I mean, you could tell that those guys were – they were at a different level. That 2018 is just its own thing. Like you can look back at Red Sox history in the last 20 years, 2018's in its own class of dominance in terms of how they handled everybody with ease in the postseason. So I would say that interview is right up there at the top.
So as soon as though we brought up the 2018 World Series and Carrabas always said that his favorite moment was being on like the duck boats and whatnot. Why didn't you end up on them?
Oh, it's a long story. Let me try to give a brief version. So basically, Red Sox won the World Series. Jared had mentioned, hey, there's a chance we're going to get on a duck boat. I was like, that would be sick. That was like, let's say a week and a half before they win in LA. And they got a email. I don't know if it was Dave or Erica or Gaz. Probably Gaz, honestly. Got an email from New Era that they had a deal with the Red Sox that they would have two spots on a duck boat if they had Barstool employees repping New Era and, you know, like trying to get people to buy the Red Sox World Champions New Era hat, which is what Jared and Coley were wearing. And so naturally that email comes through and I think it got to Dave and he's like, well, you know, obviously we should have Jared and Coley, they're Barstool employees. I think something that went over people's heads the last 6 years that I was doing the podcast, I was not a full-time employee at Barstool. Like I was full-time with Bleacher Report and people like kind of forgot that. And then when the duck boat thing came around, I think a lot of people thought it was like some beef between me, Jared and Coley or something. And it was never that. It was that New Era had two spots and Jared and Coley are full-time Barstool employees and had been for a while. And so they got them and they weren't, you know, Dave wasn't going to have a BR guy up there. And that's just kind of how it goes. And it sucks. But like, if you ask me candidly, I still think to this day that some strings could have been pulled that I could have been up there. Like I'm always going to think that, like, who knows if, you know, it could have gone differently if we asked XYZ person, but you know, it wasn't Jared's fault. It wasn't Coley's fault. they had two spots, and those are the guys that got them. I just happened to be on the outside looking in. That parade day was awkward as hell, let me tell you, because it was fun, you know, being at a Red Sox parade. But when you realize you should be up on a duck boat, it's not as fun watching it with the people. But I got to say, I'm a man of the people. I love, you know, hanging with Red Sox fans, hearing their stories and how they would interact with the podcast. So it was a fun day at Baseball Tavern, I'll tell you that much. A lot of Coors Lights were consumed.
Steve, yeah. did you consider at all doing a little Tonya Harding to either of those guys? Because, I mean, I feel like you had a window, right? A small window, and you know, I think Coley would fall quite a bit easier, right? He's got a lot more to fall. You take that knee out, and those knees are supporting a lot of man, right? And I'm not. I'm just saying,
7 foot tall. You know, he's a big guy. Coley's the funniest build of all time because he's definitely not fat. He's just big. He's just a big dude. Like, he's just built big, and he's one of the biggest people I've ever been around, and he'd be the first to tell you that. He's just a big dude. So I probably should have chopped his legs off, and that would have got me. That would have got me up there. I'm not going to lie. That night before, and I'll never forget this, it was such a weird, like, I went to the Celtics game with my dad. I brought my dad to the Seas. We hadn't been to the Celtics in a while. He used to bring me all the time back when I was the Fleet Center. And I was upset the entire game because I was realizing, messaging Jared back and forth, that it just, I wasn't going to be up there. I was like, there's nothing we can do. Like, I'm trying to figure out the whole time. And he's like, I don't think there's anything we can do. And the Celtics are like, Jaylen Brown, 4-3. And I'm just pissed off. I'm not even excited. Like, Tatum had like 30. They blew out whoever they were playing. And I was upset the whole time. But, yeah, I don't know. It's something that over the years, you know, it's been 3 years since then. And it's been easier since time has passed. But I'm always going to be salty about it. There's no scenario where I won't be salty about it.
You'll be on the next one.
Hopefully. I mean, hey, dude, this year, I'm not going to lie. It took until game 3. Eddie's last start. With the Red Sox, it took until that game 3 win for me to be like, they're gonna win the World Series this year. They're gonna mess around and just win the whole damn thing. Like, I let that thought get in my brain, and then they didn't win the rest of the year.
So I actually got to go to that game. I found a ticket for $40 on SeatGeek, and it ended up costing me like $60. But I waited literally until the last minute to purchase that ticket. And then I had to drive an hour and 40 minutes up to Boston. So I missed the grand slam. And yeah, but I got up there, and I was up there during the third inning, I believe. So I made good time.
That's really good time. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely something I will always remember. And back to the World Series, the 2018 World Series. So I didn't go to that that parade. I ended up going to the 2013 parade. And I said after that one, I would never go to another one because it was just absolutely fucking mayhem.
Yeah.
Like, there were like millions of people there, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't breathe. Getting on the tee was terrible. And I'm not from the area, so I'm just like, I don't know where I'm going and whatnot. So it was nuts. Brady, you had some questions for Steve.
Steve, if you had to say it right now, going forward for this upcoming Red Sox team, who's the one free agent out there that you're like, man, I really think realistically that's going to fill the best need for where this team is at right now?
Stroman.
I hate if I was going to say Stroman. Like, it realistically, it would be Marcus Stroman, who blocked me 4 years ago, and I hate him.
But what did you say? What did you do?
Stroman is a very thin-skinned individual, which I used to be when I started on the podcast. Then I realized there's just a bunch of doofuses out there, and you just don't got to worry about it. But early on, this is what I hate about Stroman. One of about 1,000 things I could go for days. He is the fakest tough guy of all time. You go back, check the tapes, check the footage. The amount of times that he'll run behind his catcher and be like, oh, you want some? Like, while he has a guy blocking him. It's like, you're not a fighter, man. Like, Stroman's dad could kill me easily. He is the biggest dude I've ever seen in my life. If he looked at you the wrong way, your neck would snap. But Stroman's not a tough guy. He acts like he is. A lot of the Red Sox guys, if you ask them candidly, they haven't told me, but I just know that they'd be like, this guy is a clown. The way he acts on the mound, he overdoes it all the time. It's like, dude, okay. And then he can't wait to rush to the press conference and be like, oh, well, they pimp home runs so I can like yell at the dugout and pound my chest. He's very much like Bauer, where it's like, shut up, dude. Like, they're just obviously doing too much all the time on the mound. I mean, obviously Bauer's dealing with a ton of off the field stuff, but with Stroman on the field, I can't stand him. Jared has constantly said he's a good dude. Maybe he is. Maybe he is a good dude. I don't know him personally, but having said that, sign him to a five-year deal. Bring him to Boston. I mean, it's just like he's the best. I realistically, he's going to want probably in that five-year range. Money-wise, who knows? I think he's about 30. Scherzer, I don't think they're going to go for Scherzer. He's probably going to fetch the most average annual dollars of any of these starters. Kershaw, no. Gausman, no. So it kind of leaves you with guys like Stroman, Alex Cobb. My dad had mentioned Rich Hill. I'm like, how old is Rich Hill? Is he 42 now?
I think he's 42.
63? And he's a local guy. I love Rich Hill. Rich Hill's got one of the filthiest curveballs of all time. Obviously, he has the blister issues, but yeah, I would say I would lean Stroman if they're, you know, willing to do it. But I'm not going to lie. I don't love getting into the hypotheticals because it's like in Wolf of Wall Street. Where it's like it's a woozy. It's a whatsy. It's just a bunch of like made up BS. Like if I hear a rumor, then I'm like, all right, like they should go for it. Like if I'm hearing they're interested, which the Red Sox seem to be interested in everybody, then I think you can put a little more legitimacy behind it. But yeah, in La La Land, I would say Stroman, but realistically, I don't know if they're willing to give a five-year deal to a starter right now.
Gotcha.
Stroman definitely fits after his most recent post.
I know. I'm not going to lie. I loved it. I loved it.
I saw that you great. Did a you snipped it and put it out. I was like, oh, he must be blocked.
No, big time. No, someone sent me a screenshot. I can't see his tweets. I'm blocked. Yeah,
he has me blocked on my personal page, and I've tweeted at him like 30 times. All good stuff. All good stuff.
It doesn't take much, man. Like, I remember it was – I remember where I was. I remember the day. I think it was, like, early in the 2017 season.
It was a Saturday.
It was a Saturday. It was a cool breeze coming in from the west. He had pitched, like, trash against the Red Sox, and I didn't tag him or anything. I think I said, LOL, Marcus Stroman. Like, it wasn't even that bad. I don't even think it was, like, LOL. It was like, oh, that's unfortunate that the Red Sox just shelled Marcus Stroman. And I typed his name out. I didn't like tag him. I don't like doing that, especially now.
So he searched his name.
He searched it, but here's the deal. He searched his name the second he got out of the game. He was out in the fourth inning. He blocked me in the fifth. So like this dude was in the clubhouse searching his name to block people that said negative things about him, which is like, come on, you just can't be doing that. I try to like avoid some of the mentions, and they've gotten great. Like people know who I am now. Like I think in terms of like how I carry myself, like, I just like to shoot the. I'm a chill dude. I'm not trying to like jump down anyone's throat. Like we all like the Red Sox. We like talking about the team. We like to, you know, goof around, and we like guys like Verdugo that, you know, can do it back. And I think people realize that now. Early on, they're like, "Who the hell is this Steve guy?" But it's like you got to be able to take any of the criticism and just let it kind of flip. Blocking, and I realized this early on. Blocking, just don't do it. It's a dumb idea. Like it. To the person you're blocking, it like gives them this satisfaction of like, oh, I got you, like you're rattled now because I said, LOL, the Sox shelled Stroman. So
muting's my favorite though.
Muting's great, dude. I've muted about 1,800 people. I checked the other day, which isn't actually as high as I thought because that's over 7 years. So it's really not that crazy considering how many hours. It's embarrassing if I actually added up the amount of hours I've spent on Twitter since 2015. It's got to be bad, but. Yeah, muting's great, man. You just get the clowns out of the way. They're normally Mina fans. You mute them, you let them just kind of talk to themselves in the replies, and it's great. You don't even know what's going on.
Agdale, you had some questions?
Oh, yeah. You know, something we like have been talking about amongst each other for the last few months is, you know, the Red Sox maybe bolstering their pitching in the coming months, whether it be through free agency. But one thing we've talked about is Bobby Dalbec, we think his future on this team might be a bit uncertain just because of how many quality, like, infield prospects are coming up within the next 3 years. Like, in your opinion, you think Bobby stays here long term?
I hope he does. If I'm being Bobby, I'm thinking, where am I going to be in, forget 5 years, where am I going to be in 3 years? Like, I have no idea, you know, once his time's up there for you know, his time with the Red Sox arbitration wise, he probably still has what, four plus years of control, maybe five.
Oh, yeah.
So it's tough. Cassis, and I love Red Sox Stats. That's my favorite account on Twitter. I swear it's a Cassis fan page because every other day there's some stat from Cassis in the fall league. You know, there's some, you know, understanding that he's going to do something that this guy can't do. He's the greatest prospect they've had since this guy. If I'm Bobby, that doesn't feel great. Now, from Kyle Schwarber's perspective, I think once he signs somewhere, then you can feel a little more comfortable if you're Bobby. If he's not in Boston, then it's between Dahlbeck and Cassis and figuring out if Bobby can play left, have JD as your full DH. I mean, it's will, you know, Devers be the DH in 2023 if JD's gone and then Bobby's at third? There's options. I think Bobby's given himself options because he's versatile in the field. Obviously, his fielding numbers at first aren't as great as he wants them to be, but that's where I hate all the advanced stats. Bobby's not that bad at first base. Like, he's a good first baseman, but you dive into the numbers and it's like bottom of the league. Like, if you really do like all the advanced statistics, I like to do the eyeball test. How do I trust the guy at first? Let me tell you who I don't trust at first. Kyle Schwarber. I don't trust him at first base, and it's not his fault. He's not a first baseman. So long answer short, I would say Bobby would tell you he's uncertain of where he's going to be in a couple of years, but I can promise you this offseason, he's putting himself in a position to do what I think a lot of people thought he would do this entire season instead of just the second half. And that's, you know, be a player that is almost too good to get rid of in a trade.
He had a damn good second half. He was so good.
I know. I mean, September was a little tough. I was really like July, August, he crushed. And then I'd say second week of September on, it tailed off a little bit, but no, he found a sweet spot there. Also, he barrels the ball like no other. I think he was the top on the Red Sox, top seven or eight in Major League Baseball in terms of like contacted balls, like balls that he made contact with, percentage of them being barrels, I think was like fourth in the majors. So if he hits it, he crushes it. That's basically how it goes. He's just got to hit it more and strike out less and easier said than done. So we'll see if that happens.
They should have just threatened his job at the beginning of the season.
That always works.
That's when he started doing really good.
I know. It's interesting, though, right? Because, like, technically they threaten his job, but at the same time, I don't think he's BSing when he says Schwarber was a huge help to him. I think that's true. Like, I think Schwarber actually did help him a lot and probably gave him the confidence of, like, dude, like, I'm going to play first. You'll play first. I'm not coming here to, like, take your job. Like, that's not – we're trying to win ball games. I genuinely believed it when Bobby was saying it because he can kind of, like – I've gotten to know Bob a little bit over the years, and, like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's a tame dude. But like, I can tell when he's actually making up answers and when he means it. And I think he genuinely was overly pumped of how much Schwarber helped him at first, which is weird because Schwarber can't play first. I think it's more just like how much he helped him with the confidence level of like, dude, you are very skilled. Like, do your thing.
Schwarber's so bad at first that he's like, you know what? I got this shit. Like,
I got this. I can't be worse than that. There's no way I'm worse than that. I can guarantee you. But I mean, dude, in the playoffs, especially the ALCS, and I know you need Schwarber's bat in there. It makes sense why he's in there. There are so many times where I'm like, ground ball to second. Is Schwarber gonna get this throw? Is he gonna field this throw from like 15 feet away? Like, I hope he does.
I'll tell you what play pissed me off with Schwarber at first. It was the one where it fell right in front of him at the mound. I was like, what are we doing here?
That was tough. But I let's be real though. For a guy that had never played first base, of plays that are going to screw him up, the mound one where everyone's like, you got it, I got it. Like, I think that's the one that's probably going to screw him up. And if anything, I got to be honest. What was it? Game six, right? In Houston, where he almost turned a triple play. Like,
yes, that was awesome.
That was, in terms of like, and I'm sure there'll be a stat for this soon, like expected outs on a play. And that might already exist. Like expected out percentage zone ratio. Like that probably is a thing on Baseball Reference. I would have guaranteed that he would have found a way to get no outs there. He almost got three. He almost got all the outs you can get in a half an inning. And if what's his face, Alvarez wasn't, you know, heads up base running there, he would have been thrown out at the plate and it would have been the coolest triple play I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, I didn't want to talk about stats, but you mentioned stats. Yeah, stats got us blocked.
Really? What did you do? What did you do?
I have no idea.
Here's the thing. Now I'm noticing you have no idea for multiple people that have you blocked. Like, come on now.
Brad's a bit combative.
That sounds like a lot like, oh, was it? I couldn't be me. I think
I'm not saying it wasn't me. I just don't know what I did, honestly. Like, I probably argued with somebody who, like, who said something under a tweet of his, or theirs, should I say.
Yeah.
And they got, they were like, fuck this. I'm not, block this asshole.
One thing that's tough, and I don't know if you've done this. I'm sure I've done it before. I'm a hypocrite because I'll be like, I hope people don't do this, but then I've done it before, is the people that keep conversations going in your replies. When it has nothing to do with you, it's more them arguing about a separate thing, but like I'm still tagged in the replies. It's like, keep me out of this. Like, you guys are trying to debate if Schwarber should be back or not. I tweeted about my favorite pizza. Like, I don't stop. Like, stop tagging me or having me stay tagged in the replies. It takes 2 seconds to exit someone out. And I don't know. Maybe this is just me venting because it drives me nuts. But I don't know if that's what happened with Stats and if you replied to someone else, but he was still tagged or something. I don't know.
If Stats ends up listening to this, I apologize. Please unblock me.
I love Stats. I don't think Stats, we'll yeah. ever know who it is.
I was going to ask you that.
I think Jared said it, and I agree with him. If I was able to find out who it was, I don't think I'd want to know.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I like the fact that there's a good chance I've walked past them at Fenway and just never knew. And this is a person that I don't reply to a lot of people on Twitter, but Stats, a lot of times I'll reply just to give a little commentary under what he already said. Like, it's not like replying expecting another reply. And he knows that. It's this, that's the only thing I know is that it's a he. That's the only thing Jared confirmed. He's like, I don't know who it is, but I know it's a male. So we have that, I guess, as some info.
Well, that helps. I mean, that.
Yeah. So that trims it down.
Uh-huh. Like, what's the odds it's not Millsy?
That it's not Millsy?
Yeah.
100%.
That's confirmed.
It's not Millsy. Millsy. It's not Elsie. It's not Pat.
It's not. All right. So we're rolling it out. Okay. We're going through.
No, it's none of them. All right. None of them.
Okay. All right. So I have three more questions for you and we'll let you go about your night. Cool. Do either one of you guys have any other questions for Steve?
Steve, what's your favorite ad read?
Favorite ad read was always the ball man. I'll have another talking stormy. I love doing that. That was my favorite. And there were people that would like, most of the people liked it. There was this one guy in the DMs that was like, dude, if you don't shut the hell up with that barman thing, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm like, I just replied politely. I was like, here's the deal, buddy. All you got to do, it's this little like thing. It's like this little arrow in a circle that like fast forwards 30 seconds. It takes 2 seconds. You tap it. You don't even have to listen to me say it. Like, it's the people that'll complain about an ad read or something they know that's coming. Fast forward. Like, what are you doing? Like, any podcast I listen, Bill Simmons, I listen, I fast forward to the reads. Doesn't everyone fast forward to the ad reads? I probably shouldn't say that because I'm sure we're trying to get ad money. But but like, I feel like everyone does that. Man, maybe not.
Honestly, I listening to Section 10, I don't think I've ever fast forward.
No,
so that's good. Well, I think a lot of times we genuinely put a lot of effort in the ad reads. Like,
I will say, the 3-hour show was kind of hard.
My least favorite thing. I hate 3-hour shows. It was my last one, so I didn't care. But like that was my biggest like. And we might make it seem like a joke on the show, but I genuinely before the show would be like, Jared Coley, let's clean 40 minutes, clean 40, let's do a clean 40, and always be like, yep, sounds good.
Hour half. 2 hours.
Hour and a half became a short show. Like that became a nothing. Like it was, dude, that's what killed me. Like we're even talking, you know, about what we're going to do with the new Sox show. And we want it to be a clean 40. Like we want it to be 40 minutes. You're I don't want to go that long, man. Like it's some of these shows.
It's so hard to get all the information you want to get in or all the stuff that you want to talk about. It is, but it's still hard.
It is hard. It's like, you know, we got to move on. Like, okay, like this was the topic. We've talked about it. We're moving on.
We got to move on, man. I mean, there would be times where we're at hour two. It's 2 a.m. I know I then have to edit it afterwards. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I would intentionally stop talking.
That's why you wanted 40 minutes.
Man, that's brutal.
Oh, 100%. But I was honest about that. I was honest about it. It's like, I'm not trying to stay up till 5 a.m. editing show where they just lost a series to the Marlins. Like, what are we doing here? Clean 40.
I got to tell you, Steve, the first time I ever listened to Section 10, it was an Omaha Steaks ad read. I fucking laughed so hard, so long. And I was like, what the fuck are these guys doing? And that was it. I was just like,
the apple totlets.
I just lost it. I'm driving to work and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? That was it. That's it.
I got to say, and Jared never loved doing the ad reads. I tried to get him to do as many as he could. He was good when he did them. Coley was really good. Coley with the apple totlets. He'd be like, buddy, do we have a deal for you? And I mute myself because I'm just laughing. I'm like, it's not even, it would be funny because some of these places, the deal isn't even that good. And he'd be like, I hope you're sitting down because this deal is going to blow your socks off. But yeah, I'll miss that. I mean, I'm obviously going to miss the podcast a lot, but weirdly enough, I'll miss a lot of the ad reads. Like that's one of the things I'll miss the most.
Your competition now. So a couple things. One's Red Sox related. One's not Red Sox related, and the other one's food.
Nice.
E-Rod, what were your thoughts on him going to the Tigers?
I think one thing with free agent signing in new locations, and it happens with us too. It happened with, I'm trying to think of a good example here. Well, Verdugo is a bad example because everyone's like, watch out. It's like, I love Verdugo. But Franchi, I guess, would be a good example where you listen to the opposing fan base of the guy that's leaving the team to go to the new one. That's rarely is that wrong. Like for E-Rod, I think we can all kind of agree. He had his moments here that were really good. He was a little unpredictable, a little inconsistent. And you take that little inconsistent and you times it by, what, 7 seasons? And that's what you have. And I think overall, you know, he closed strong. Obviously, that game 3 performance is exactly what you want going into free agency. I know what time it is. God, I had no real issue with it. I know Cora hated it. But yeah, overall with E-Rod, I saw the news and I was like, okay, good for him. He got paid. You know, I realistically didn't think the Red Sox were going to sign him to any kind of long deal. I would be curious of what the deal actually was, the multi-year deal they offered him. But yeah, it's fine. Sox are going to get a draft pick out of this. And now Houck is likely in your rotation, almost guaranteed. And who's that last guy now? And I'm excited to see who it is.
You think he'll play better out in Detroit?
I think he's going to be the E-Rod that we know. I think he's going to be that guy that he gives you innings. E-Rod's best ability was availability. He was very rarely hurt. I know he had that funky thing in Baltimore where he slipped on the mound and whatever and got, but like more often than not, E-Rod gave you innings. He gave you the most starts by any Red Sox pitcher in the last 3-4 seasons. So a guy that can go out there, take the ball, and more often than not pitch well is what the Tigers just got. And they didn't get an ace. You know, all the Eddie Aces stuff, I always kind of push back on that. I'm like, let's pump the brakes. Not an ace. But on a team like that, he can definitely be one of your top 2 starters, and that's kind of what they're paying for.
So Carlos Correa was caught talking with A.J. Hinch this morning. He had breakfast with him that ended up turning into lunch. Make anything of that?
No, I saw Passon's tweet. I didn't see the pictures or anything going around, but he was like, I can confirm that he had breakfast, you know, with Hinch, and it turned into lunch. And I'm like, do they have mimosas? Like, what did they have? Like, come on, let's break it down. Was it scrambled eggs into sandwiches? What are we doing? I couldn't care less about that. Realistically, that's the top landing spot for him anyway, regardless of the toast and eggs. So I would think he's going to go to Detroit. It might be one of those mega deals. It might be in the Mookie range, at least years-wise, of like 10+. And we'll see what happens. That's the picture. I love it. Also, like,
it literally looks like AJ Hinch is scolding him for smoking.
He's scolding him for the trash cans. Like, I at this point, it could just be breakfast amongst friends. I mean, these guys, how many years they spend together? He was the manager, you know, of Correa for ages in Houston. So I read nothing into that. But Passon isn't doing his job. He needs to say what they ate. I need to know what the food was.
I feel like Passon knows. He's just holding off, and I just don't appreciate it from him.
I think it's unprofessional. And I think it's, you know, I expect nothing less from the guy. You know, he's shown over the years that he's not going to give you the full story and the full breakdown. And this is another example of that.
That checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I listen to WEEI every morning. I listen to the Greg Hill Show.
Nice.
Pretty much religiously. And the other day they had a topic about pineapples on pizza.
Sounds accurate.
For fuck's sake.
So, how did that just come up like this week? I feel like that would be something that Wiggy would. I did the pineapple on the pie. It was never for me. I don't know. Like I don't understand how Wiggy wasn't doing that. That Wiggy just came up recently.
Yeah, it came up earlier this week. So pineapple, does it belong on pizza?
It can be on there. I don't want it on there. I think it's like it can be on there. I feel like there are people that are just like, if you put that pineapple on that pie, I'll kill you. It's like it's not that serious. Like the pineapple, if it's at the pizza party, can be on the pizza. But I'm not going to be the one that's eating it if it's on the pizza. That's like, fair, right?
Yeah, and like, you know, as far as like the most cursed things you can put on a pizza, pineapple is not that far up there. I don't even like pineapple, but like people like put mayo on pizza, like they'll have like mayo and pickle. And I'm like, guys, what are we doing?
You put a pickle on a pie, get out of my face. Like that, the thing should be something weird, like a mayo.
Yeah, they exist, Brad. Like these evil people exist. And
they're out there.
We're talking about pineapple.
Since I was 16 until maybe about 7 years ago. Never once sop mayonnaise on a pizza.
Because you're at a dignified pizza place that had standards. Like, Jesus.
You're at a Domino's pizza joint.
Domino's doesn't count. Come on.
Yeah. Fucking, you know, Dominic's down the road.
Hey, we can stop mentioning that place. We're not getting paid by them, so.
Yeah, no free ads. That's one of the biggest things I learned on Section 10. No free ads. But yeah, pineapple, it can be on there. I feel like everyone always wants to be like, oh, God, no. And then like, yes, it's my favorite pizza. Like, it can be on there. It's not that big a deal.
Anything else, guys?
Yeah, not Red Sox related, but like I saw a lot of the nerds were getting into a heated discussion with more traditionalists over the NL Cy Young. What do you think of Burns versus Wheeler? You think Burns deserved it, or are you more of a Wheeler guy?
I like Burns a lot. Wheeler was the guy that you'd look up in the eighth inning and be like, he's the only starter left that still pitches in the eighth inning. Like, there's nobody that goes that deep into games. But in all honesty, like, I wasn't following Wheeler in the first half of the year. Like, I was with Burns, though. Like, he had that streak going. What was it? The no walks streak. I think he set MLB history with that.
Yeah.
So Burns, it feels like the guy that the majority of the year was the best pitcher in the National League. And then Scherzer came over from the Nationals and was like, I'm going to pitch Cy Young for the Dodgers. But it wasn't the same with the Nationals. He was good with the Nats, but not to the Dodgers level. Like, it was rather ridiculous what he was doing in LA. So I don't know how much credit you want to give Scherzer for putting those numbers up in a new uniform. I feel like that deserves a lot of praise. Like, you're switching sides mid-season and you only have a couple months to pitch for a team and you're sub 2 ERA. Like, that's insane. But I had no real issue with it. I'm glad that a guy like Corbin Burns gets it, because we talk so much about him. It feels like he would have been one of those pitchers that like, he deserved a Cy Young. Well, he got one. So it's like, there you go. Like, the guy that would likely fall into that category of like, it's unfortunate he didn't get one, got one. So I'm always happy to see that. And Wheeler's going to have more chances too. In all honesty, I would expect Walker Buehler gets it next year. He tweeted, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was like a classic, like, kind of sort of really jealous ex type of tweet, where he was like, at Corbin Burns, at Max Scherzer, at, you know, Zach Wheeler, congrats on great seasons. You know, it really means a lot that you got. It's like Buehler, I think, came in fourth in voting. He's at home. Like, how am I not on the final three show? Like, I should be in this show, which I respect. So I would say Walker Buehler should be the favorite for next year.
Steve, I swear I just got two real quick bullets. Is it ready?
Yeah.
Robot umps, yay, nay.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Just yay, nay.
Nay.
Good man.
I'm out. I love good. Complaining at umps.
Thank you.
These guys are clowning me so hard. I swear to God. If we could have competent regular umps, I would be fine with that. But MLB refuses to put their best umps in the game. I swear.
It was a rough year for umps. I would say one of their worst in a long time. But I gotta say, I love complaining at umps. It's been a thing I've done for 30 years. Let's keep it going.
Fair enough.
Steve, you're a really good looking man. I'm comfortable to say that.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
I just need to know who would be your who would you put up there right now? Who's the Steve Peralta of the 2021 Boston Red Sox? Who's that ruggedly good-looking, handsome man?
Kike Hernandez.
It's not the right answer. It's not the right answer. But
is it Bob?
No, he is a Pavetta guy.
A lot of people say I look like Pavetta. I don't know if I see that.
I did say you're really good looking. Yeah. I mean, like, I was trying to be. I'm a little disappointed.
You were trying to set it up. Yeah, I should have. You threw the alley. I did not slam the oop down. I should have done that. That's on me. I appreciate the compliment. In all honesty, I've put on 10 pounds in the off season, so I feel great hearing that. That's great. I can still look good and add on some pounds. I'm telling you, dude, I was losing weight when I was eating the Reese's because all I was eating was Reese's. Weight gain and loss is a weird thing. You can like eat garbage, but a little garbage, and you can lose weight. But then if you're like eating whatever food, but more of it, you're putting on LBs. Don't even get me started about the losing weight and gaining weight.
Where were you game three? Because I was looking for you.
I was in the same spot. I stayed up by the Cayman.
Oh, you're on the monster. That's why.
Yeah. But we were moving around a lot. You know, they were really nice to me up there, the people that work on the monster. So I'd get my hand stamped and get to walk up there, and they'd give me a seat if there was an open one. Those people are great. So it was fun, man. I mean, game three, ALCS was obviously fun, but then ALDS, I mean, that was the Vasquez walk-off was like, and speaking of Nick Pivetta.
Uh-huh.
My God, that is one of the ballsiest performances I've ever seen in my life, especially in person. He had a new celebration off the mound every single half inning. I was like, this is great. The high step. Yeah, that was awesome.
Dude, I was like beyond. I was like, oh, so proud.
But the funny thing with the high step is that he's doing the high step to the dugout. And I think the dugout wasn't celebrating to the level that he kind of expected. So it hit him. Wait, was it a ball? Like, did he not? Because think about that. If it was either a check swing or it was a close pitch. And imagine if you did that high step to the dugout. And everyone's like, dude, it's ball three. You got to come back out. If you had to come back out after high stepping to the dugout, that's
the whole vibe is just fucking gone. Oh my
God. I know. Because he looked back. I checked the footage. He kind of peeked back. Like, wait, did I actually strike him out? He's like, okay, I struck him out. But I love Nick Pivetta, man. I mean, he had obviously a lot of ups and downs, and some of his best outings they lost. You know, they lose that game in Tampa where he gives up no runs, has a no hitter in the seventh.
Nice.
They lost in Toronto when he had six shutout innings in that seven inning doubleheader there. So, yeah, I think Pivetta deserved a little better from the offense when he was out there.
The Tampa Bay Rays game was a tough one.
That was tough. We had a watch party at Game On for Section 10, and the Sox didn't score. Ugh. So when you have a watch party, you want the team that you're all rooting for to score so you can go, yeah, because that's what you do at the watch parties. So.
All right, very last thing, I promise. We'll let you go.
Yeah.
One thing, Bryce Harper won National League MVP.
Oh, breaking news?
Yeah.
Nice.
For him, dude.
Breaking
for
news!
Him. Yeah.
This isn't going to be breaking news when people hear it, but yeah.
We would always do that, though. We'd be like, this just in. It's like, dude, we're dropping this in 7 hours.
Yeah.
Harper's a stud. I'm glad after all the fucking garbage criticism he's gotten over the years, he just comes out, wins an MVP.
Two-time MVP. He's got a couple now.
Who do you think won the American League?
If it's not Ohtani, right? Rioting.
Yeah, it's totally Shohei.
Thank God.
Like, What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to be locked out and we're going to not have games in March, April?
I hope not. I think it's funny because I got to say, when we meet with each major league team, you know, about getting in talks about launching a podcast and figuring out who the best host would be and all that stuff. It's always funny because the calls go really well and they're like, oh, you know, we listen to Section 10 or maybe they don't know about Section 10. It's a lot of just finding common ground. And at the end, it'll always be like, there's a lockout coming up. What are we going to do about that?
We've been kind of like, we've been trying to like come up with like scenarios and like what we could talk about, topics we could talk about throughout the off season and when it happens.
Just don't think about it is my favorite answer.
I got to be honest, when we would do Section 10 and do one a week in a normal off season, no lockout, none of that. It's tough. It's still hard to do a show a week when you guys know, a lot of times, especially with the Red Sox, they wait out their signings. A lot of times these things don't happen fast. Like the JD thing, they were already at spring training. So in 2018. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough. I think December 1st is the day that it could happen, which caught me off guard. I did not know it was that soon. I was like, hold up.
December 2nd at midnight.
Okay. So it's closing up. I mean, that's what, less than 2 weeks or 2 weeks. Yeah. That sucks. So we'll see. I mean, it's probably going to be a nightmare, and get ready for it.
Yeah. A lot of Marcus Stroman just had Eggs Benedict. Like, that will be like, ooh, kid, what?
I know.
I wonder what that means. Right.
Make sure you don't reply to him about it. You're getting blocked.
He's got a quick trigger finger. He really does.
The quickest of any athlete on Twitter. I don't think it's even close. I would love to know his blocked number.
It reminds me of like Rob Parker, like in the football world for Pats fans, where if you just are a Pat fan and exist, Rob Parker has blocked you. It's guaranteed. Yeah. Like, I've never talked to the man. I'm blocked.
He was tough. He was really tough. Anytime I saw it, because I like Cowherd for the most part. And he'd go on Cowherd and just speak nonsense. Just straight. And like, I understand the approach of some of these guys. That's like, if you're crazy, if you have a crazy take, it'll get more engagement. That's always so cheap to me. Like, that's just speak whatever you actually think. Maybe put a little sizzle on it, but don't just say like Brady's washed. He was saying Brady's washed like 8 years ago. Like, what?
Yeah, 2013. He was saying.
I know. He was saying it in like 12 and 13. I'm like, dude, he's got like four more Super Bowls. What are we doing here, man?
It's just disingenuous. It just is. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, that guy's trash. But oh well. Oh well. All right, hopefully, Steve, the lockout isn't long. Hopefully. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
Very much appreciated. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks, also, I did want to say, I waited forever for you during the 2020 winter meetings, and you were sleeping.
Wait, winter weekend, you mean, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, I wasn't at the winter meetings.
Yeah, at MGM, I was like, oh, Jared, cool. Ah, Coley Vic, cool. Where's Steven? And they were like, ah, he's upstairs sleeping.
Wait, what time of day was this?
It was like afternoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. If it was
that checks out.
Yeah, that checks out. If it was like early afternoon at winter weekend, the length that I'll sleep, if we like really like went out the night before and did the whole casino thing, we're talking 2, maybe 3 p.m. Like it's an all time. That's one of my favorite sleeps of the year. I don't know if they're doing winter weekend again this year.
I'm so upset because that was the first one I went to, and I had so much fun. My girlfriend was in one line to meet one player, and I was in another line to meet another player. I met Vasquez, and she was in with she goes, oh, I was texting her. I'm like, hey, who do you have? She's like, number 19. I'm like, you got Jackie Bradley. She's like, no, he's Asian. I was like, who the fuck?
You got
Asian?
Koji.
Yeah, so she got Koji, and I'm like, can I trade?
I always thought that like anytime, cause we've been going to that since the second year they did it in whatever it was, 2016. And it is funny because I would see those rooms and see like, you know, who's getting who, and you would see the looks on people's faces of like, I don't even know who this guy is. And my friend is talking to Pedro. Like what are we doing right now?
I was probably one of the more disappointed people when I saw Josh Osich or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I don't even know who you are. I had to like Google him. I was like, he just came from the Padres.
Yeah. And I was just like, it's gotta be tough to be that guy too, where you're like, I know that a lot of people probably don't know who I am. I mean, a lot of them just kind of walk out of Fenway. Like when we would wait by Gate D, even like Matty Backpacks, like these guys would just kind of walk out and walk past the fan. They wouldn't even notice. Like, I feel like a lot of these guys are hard to notice without the jersey and the number on. So yeah, tough stuff. I miss winter weekend though. I really hope it's going to come back. Foxwoods winter weekend was prime. Hopefully they bring that back. We'll see. Maybe it's going to be at Encore. Who knows?
Don't they have a thing with MGM?
I'm sure they do, but like, I'm just saying Encore cause I want it to be there.
Cause it's so much closer to you.
It's just closer. Yeah. It's a shorter drive. So maybe it'll be there. Who knows?
All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man. We'll have to do this again sometime before the season starts. If there's a lockout, we'll definitely have you on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But good stuff, guys. Appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can talk about some, you know, some Sox signings. That would be wonderful.
That would be perfect. All right, man. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks, Steve. We'll
So we just got done speaking with Steve Perwalt. That was probably one of the cooler sit-downs, interviews that I've ever been a part of. And want to say thank you so much to Steve for taking the time to sit down and talk to us, even though it was a little over what he had said that he was available for. It was about 40-something minutes.
Oh, he's a king. I love him.
King, thanks.
Awesome.
We'll definitely be listening to the new podcast. Big fans of Section 10, by the way. I don't know about the other two here, but I love Section 10. I
fucking love Section 10. Who? Sure. What Sox fan doesn't? Honestly,
no. There are a few people out in the world that do not like Section 10, and they're just wrong.
Well, yeah. You know what they say: the small minority of Americans are just losers, and they always will be. That, you know, I'm afraid to say out. It checks out, you know.
So listening and asking him the questions and whatnot and going on, what were you guys' thoughts? Like, did you know that there was an issue? Like, not an issue, but like the Marcus Stroman situation. What were you guys' thoughts on that? I thought it was kind of funny.
That was really funny. I knew a little bit that Steve, like, you know, kind of didn't like him. I didn't realize it was to that more of an extent, or it's just like, yeah, I can rant on about this for a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought it up. It was funny as hell, but it did make me wonder, like, maybe this guy is a little too thin-skinned for Boston, though. Like,
you know, I don't know, man. He's... If he's a fake tough guy, then yeah. And if what Steve was saying about him, with the, like, just blocking people and whatnot, I think maybe he might be a little too thin skinned, and he might end up staying in New York. Excuse me, I'm sorry, people. I'm just getting over a cold here.
At the same time, it's not like Mets fans are exactly pleasant.
Oh man, I went to a Mets game last year, or this past season, and they were playing the Pirates, and there was a guy in the section we were in, and he was wearing a Pirates jersey, and there was this huge fucking drunk dickhead who was just like, fuck you, like, at the fucking fan who was wearing the Pirates jersey. It's like,
come on, it's hard enough, like, being a Pirates fan in the first place. Leave the man alone. Jesus.
Come on.
It's so not cool.
That's, like, I don't know, that's, man, like, something I would expect at, like, a Red Sox Yankees game. And I'll tell you this, when I went and saw a Red Sox Yankee game in New York, it wasn't even that bad.
Man, like, it's just like, I like it when you go to a ballpark and it's just like the fans are, you know, cool, and like, it's a social experience. That's why it's like, I love going to Chicago so much to see that White Sox games, dude. White Sox fans, so nice. They're such nice people from what I met. Just I was surrounded by like 8 just good dudes, like all of them.
Philly fans suck, but that's
Philly fans suck.
2019, I went to a Phillies Red Sox game, and it was Eduardo Rodriguez was pitching. He was getting his 20th win, or he was pitching for his 20th win, and Matt Barnes blew it. And go figure, right?
Yeah, shocking.
And there, you know, I was Mitchy Two Bags, whatever. And then fucking one guy was like, Mitchy No Bags, fuck him. And I was like, okay. And then Mitch Moreland, like, hit a line shot out into like left center or something like that. And I'm like getting up, and I'm like looking at him going, Mitchy Two Bags, you know. And then at the end of the game, the Red Sox ended up winning, and the guy, like, looked at me, and I looked at him, and I'm smiling. I was like, I drove all the way down from Connecticut, bro.
Yeah, I've been at Fenway where Philly fans almost overtake Fenway, where you're like, what the shit, man? Like, it can be – they travel well, that I'll say.
Yeah. They're weirdly aggressive.
Really. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like that for every sport. Like, just every, like, it just transcends. Like, Flyers fans are like that. Eagles fans are like that.
The only thing that I'll ever say about Philly fans in general, and it's not even about the baseball team, it's not about the hockey team or the basketball team, it's more so about the football fans, is they can never, ever talk shit because they've literally had their fans eating horse shit.
True. That did happen. I'm glad I didn't see that video. I'm glad I missed that one.
Oh, Brady doesn't know what we're talking about.
I have
Should I pull it up?
You don't know about this?
No.
It was after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. There was a video of a fan literally eating horse shit.
Horse shit.
Literally. Like, it was after the parade, I think. Like, a horse went by, and there's just a pile of horse shit on the ground, and he just ate horse shit.
Was he just that drunk that he was just like...
You're asking me to justify the actions of a actually insane person who like needs psychological like therapy.
Give me a quick second. I'll pull this bad boy.
Oh no, no!
God. Bring it up. I need to see it.
I've seen enough.
I gotta see it. Listen, I was at the 04 parade. I didn't see anything like that.
Oh my fucking god!
By advertising on YouTube, I grow my business. By
no free ads, YouTube assholes. Yeah. I'm a sponsor of those cunts.
And eight horse crap.
Fuck you, TMZ.
Because Philly is nonsense. It's like the bird.
You ever been so happy you wanted to eat horse food?
Oh, did he fully eat it? Like, swallow it?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand. I thought you eat crap when you lose.
Well, what?
Yeah. He probably got caught up in the moment.
No. What? No. There's no
way. All right. All right. Fuck off, TMZ.
Yeah, so, the fucking crowd is supposed to say, no, don't eat the fucking horse shit. That's so fucked up.
So if there's any Philly fans that are listening to this, yeah, I'm sorry. You've lost every card possible just for that.
If you're a Philly fan listening to this, you're cool because you're listening to our show. And I appreciate
let me get
you.
This straight. Red Sox fans, there's a baby at a game, and the crowd goes fucking nuts chanting, for the baby, they go fucking bananas for the baby, right? They go insane. They lose their minds. Philly fans are like, eat horse shit, do it, come on, yeah. Like, that's the difference.
Philly fans have the guys who would, like on a hockey game, just throw their baby on the ice, like, after a hat trick. Just, like, fucking.
I mean, you could be Bills fans and throw your kid through a table.
No, see, Bills fans, their moniker is throwing dildos on the field, and I just respect it so heavily.
Wait, what?
Do you not remember? Well, you might probably didn't see this, but there was a streak of like three or four Patriots Bills game where a Bills fan threw a dildo on the field.
Oh my god! I didn't know about that. Speaking of dildos, dildos goes with balls, and when we're going to talk about balls here,
the transition.
I mean, like, yeah, dildos have balls on them, don't they?
They sure do.
Okay. Batting leadoff for the Red Sox is the Lawnmower 4.0. From our friends at Manscaped. This fourth generation trimmer is going to help you dodge hairy balls this winter, like the Orioles dodged the win column this season. Today's sponsor, Manscaped, are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Raise your hand if you're one of them. Swing for the fences and use the right tools for the job with Manscaped for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PESKYREPORT, that's PESKYREPORT, at manscaped.com. You will not be disappointed. Guys, have you purchased any more Manscaped stuff besides the 4.0?
I got another pair of boxers because I really like them. I think they're really comfy.
I put it on my Christmas list, okay?
And so the wife has to buy it?
Right. But, well, that's really, I mean, that's like, you know, it's for everybody.
Is it a Christmas present for you? Or is it a Christmas present for her? Or is it a Christmas present for both?
Yes. Right? Everyone wins. You know, it's a stocking stuffer. It's great. You know that toner's got me fucking, that toner's been on my mind for a while now.
Then why haven't you bought the toner yet?
Because anticipation, it's fucking, you know, when you put it on, I can't fucking wait.
You spray that on your balls and you're just like,
Yeah, right. Because, you know, like.
You got to put it on right after you put the deodorant on.
Well, this is going to be the winter of our discontent with a lockout. So I got to have something to fucking look forward to.
Bat and balls.
At least it's something, right? You know, like, you know, tone up my balls. Like, there's no baseball. but there's balls. Oh. You know it's bad. We're gonna start watching the Mexican Baseball League. You know that's gonna happen. Like soon
I've been
later.
Watching. Oh God. Yeah. I've been watching the Dominican League.
I could get into that.
Yeah, I could see that.
I just wish I understood Spanish.
Right. Yeah. How about English announcers at the Korean Baseball League? Like I would watch 100%.
Yeah, I don't think they give a fuck about that.
I wonder if the Japanese Baseball League has English announcers because they're a big budget enough.
But would you watch the KBO league if it was English announcers?
Yeah, probably. I'd at least tune it on from time to time just because there's potential major leaguers over there for the future.
We would have to change an episode. Like all of a sudden we're talking about the Ninghong like fighting birds or some shit like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know team names over there. But like that'd be great,
Brady, with your stereotypes. Oh like,
guys, oh my god, I gotta show you this.
What's up?
It's this Christian Arroyo fucking slide that Nesson fucking posted.
Oh god,
it is amazing. Hold on.
I bet I'll remember this from earlier in the year.
They posted this on Instagram. So there's this, right?
Yes.
Let's go. There's this. All right. Then Genius. There's this.
Great.
God, oh, hopefully amazing. He's not at a Travis Scott concert.
Oh.
Belly flop. And that's it. God.
I like the crowd surfing. That one gets me.
Yeah. Oh, can I real quick point out something that's not baseball related, but it's football related because it's really funny?
No.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway, you fucking cocksucker.
What was that?
Good point.
Yeah. That checks out.
Yeah, it sure does.
Oh, my God. So here's the deal. So the Patriots play the Falcons tonight. Okay, seriously, it'll make you laugh. It's really funny.
All right, go ahead.
The Patriots play.
You're listening to The Rush and the Show.
That all right, seriously, go
that,
ahead.
That genuinely was really funny. I'm going to die. Okay, here's the deal. Pat.
All right. Pat, okay.
The Pats play the Falcons. The last time the Pats played the Falcons, remember what happened? It was, 28-3. Yeah, 28-3. It's the thing that happened. So the universe itself appears to have joined in on the trolling because there is a lunar eclipse tonight. It's set to be the longest lunar eclipse in recorded human history. Guess how long the lunar eclipse is going to be?
Is it 20?
3 hours, 28 minutes. I'm not joking. Look from NASA. The universe itself is trolling the Atlanta Falcon. Like, this comes like 2 days after like EEI said, come on, guys, 28-3 jokes aren't funny.
Oh my God, that is absolutely fucking hilarious.
That's good.
3 hour, 28 minute lunar after the Patriots and Falcons play because, of course. Oh my Lord. Did you just...
Hogdale should not have been muted. That was... Now when
That's
you hear
genius.
It...
genius.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just masterful trolling from the creator, whoever may, that may be, whatever religion may be correct. The creator, he's catching W's. Good job.
Yeah. You gotta have some fun. Yeah, every now and again. I mean, just, keeping everyone, looking
it's not
everyone.
Enough like he had no. them blow a 28-3 lead. He's like, look at this shit, you fucking losers. Look at this. You asked for a sign. Here's a sign. I'm laughing at you.
It's great.
It's so good.
Did you see how Garrett Cole wouldn't go on the show?
Dude, oh, my
bitch.
God.
I forgot
clown.
To ask Steve about that.
We showed up. God damn it. That is such a clown move.
You know his response to him, like,
yeah.
That's fucked. Like, there's no way it's like, well, I understand it. Whatever. Like, it's such a fucking dweeb.
It would have been a variation of, yeah, he's a clown. And he would have done, like, a Kermit the Frog impression.
He's a fraud. He really is. He's a fraud. I thought he was an ace. He's no fucking ace.
There is a an account. I forgot who it was. Let me see if I can find it on notifications. Yes, here it is. It's obviously it's Yankee related. Yankee plug at Yankee plug seems to think that the Yankees have never cheated, and
good
he
one.
Believes
good
that
meme.
Just because everybody has everybody was using steroids in the 90s. The Yankees never cheated. And the Red Sox cheated to win the World Series in 2018. By the way, the Yankees did cheat in 2017. That's why they were also fined. And they just weren't good enough. They weren't good enough at cheating. And that's why the Astros ended up winning the World Series, because they were better at it.
Truthfully, every World Series winner comes down whose cheating lab is better. It was a meme this year, the cheating lab. It's so true. It's like, fucking, your lab needs to be like A tier at least, and needs to be as high as S tier to win in the MLB. You gotta have a good cheating lab, dude. That's why the Rays, like, they need to be investigated. The cheating lab is too good.
Remember when the Red Sox kept measuring the distance from like the mound to home plate? And like, I really want to know, obviously they were checking something out, but like, they
wasn't
really
that in Tampa?
Yes. But like, it wasn't just one time, it was like multiple times. So like, something's up. Something's up.
Oh, but, sorry to cut you off, Brady. The ballot for the MVP just came out for the American League. I believe it
was unanimous.
Unanimous, which he should have been. Good for him, dude. Holy shit. I'm just looking at just Ohtani, the entire board, first place. Holy shit. Dude, he's an alien. He really is. Like, first one.
It's so disappointing. I really wanted Vladdy to win. Obviously,
he was amazing year. It shouldn't be taken away from him.
Yeah, obviously, fucking Shohei was going to win, but I really wanted to see Vladdy win.
Vladdy, yeah, damn good player. It's just that, you know, I would owe Vlad. Simply, like, you know, throw a disgusting fastball splitter combo. What's stopping you, loser? On top of being as good of a hitter as you are. Learn to pitch, bozo.
Lazy.
Lazy.
He's literally half the player that Ohtani is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ohtani plays right field, too, sometimes.
Ohtani was worth, like, 9 wins above replacement this year, which is just absurd. Like, that's combining his pitching and hitting, obviously. It's like he was almost worth 10 games as an individual.
You know what sucks?
What's that?
It still didn't fucking matter for the Angels at
all. Oh, my. I'm getting tired of it, dude. Like, the talent wasting is it's borderline criminal. Like, it really is. You're wasting 2, like, generational talents now. Like, 2? 1 was bad enough.
No. And I, you know, somebody put on Twitter, I saw that the Angels are now the New York Mets West. And it was like, that checks out. Yep.
Well, no wonder why Noah Syndergaard ended up going there.
And Billy Epler left the fucking Angels and is now the GM of?
The Mets.
There we go.
That checked out.
It shows how down bad the Mets are. They had to stoop to hiring a former Angels GM to be their GM.
They almost hired an Orioles executive.
Oh, my God, dude.
I told you they almost hired a fucking lawyer from Pittsburgh.
That's like, down. That's down bad.
I mean, as you pointed out last time, Hogdale, the Angels are the only team without a winning record in the last 6 years. So let's get the architect behind that team to come across and work his magic over for the Mets.
Okay, wait. Okay, so I'm looking at the MVP ballot, right? And there is a glaringly dumb homer pick here. This dude, why does he have a vote? This dude from Kansas City had fucking Salvador Perez second on his MVP ballot.
Wait, where are you seeing the ballots?
1 second. Jeremy Frank posted it. He has the votes from it's also on the BBWA's website.
Yeah.
This dude has Salvador Perez as his fucking second pick. Like, why do you have a vote? Great year. I mean, he was horrible defensively and, like, objectively, like, Semien and obviously Guerrero had better years. Like, what? Hello?
Why is this taking fucking forever? God damn it.
Should Judge had a better year, and he had him 8 on this dude's ballot. Terrible.
Come on. Why is my internet sucking asshole today?
Because, you know.
That's that image after seeing someone eat horse shit, now you're talking about sucking asshole. It's pretty...
Looks like Devers and Bogarts both got MVP votes in the, like, 10th or 9th.
How many does Bobby Dalbec get?
Tragically, 0. Cedric Mullins got a few as well. Good for him.
He should.
He had a great year.
We're a very pro Cedric MVP. Mullins podcast.
All right, where are we looking?
MVP. Here we go.
Are you like pulling it up?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just crazy. Like, to me, like, looking at these, it just shows, like, you know, examples of, like, these are the same people that vote on the Hall of Fame. And, like, yeah. Some of these. Like,
I'm sorry, but if fucking Bonds doesn't get in, I'm going to be pissed.
If Bonds doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, I don't care about the Hall of Fame anymore. Like, it's not real to me. It's a fake place. Like, who gives a shit? Barry Bonds is the best baseball player who ever lived. Weep about it.
I agree. You're 100%
Devers was
11th. Right.
And Bogarts was up. Oh, Rafael Devers was 11th in the AL MVP race. Bogarts was tied for 12th, and Eovaldi was tied for 15th.
Good for Nate, and he had Cy Young votes too. Good for him.
Listen, you're 100% right about Bonds, no doubt. But I got to put Schilling's not in that same category. But my God, he deserves to be in the.
Schilling should be in. Oh, he's an asshole. I don't give a fuck.
I don't
Who
either.
Cares?
Schilling 100% should be in the Hall of Fame. They're making it a political stance, and it's like bullshit, dude. Fucking politics. Fuck you. Let the guy in. What he did with Arizona alone.
Yes. Correct. Dude, I've said it before.
Like, never mind the bloody sock. Never mind what he did in Boston. Come on.
Dude, I've said it before. I'll say it a billion times. Ty Cobb was the first person who ever got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's a wife-beating racist.
We don't care. I wanted to mention something to you guys. Do you know what today is?
Thursday.
The 18th.
That checks out. Today is Big Poppy's
birthday.
It is Big Poppy's birthday. But did you also know what happened on this day in 1997?
What is that? Because I cannot remember right now.
97.
On November 18th.
Is this a Red Sox?
Is this a Red Sox?
Okay. I want to play this game here for a minute. Okay, I got it. No cheating here. This is a guess. Ready? Is this the date that the Red Sox traded for one Pedro Martinez?
You looked it up, didn't you?
I swear to God, I did not.
Nope. See, I was just thinking, I think it's Pedro related. Like 97 sounds about right.
Dude, I remember that shit. When they did that, I was like, I mean, I had to read about it in the fucking newspaper. You know what I mean? But I was like, damn, because I knew he was good for Montreal for Tony Armas Jr. and Carl Pavano. No Google. My hand's right here. I remember it was yesterday. And I was kind of bummed because I was reading about Tony Armas Jr. and Carl Pavano for years. And Carl Pavano at least had some decent years. Tony Armas Jr. never did.
The Red Sox picked up like one of the three best pitchers in the history of baseball for nothing. That's just hilarious.
Dan Duquette never got the credit he deserved for building a lot of that 04 team.
By the way, if anyone like thinks like me saying like Pedro's like one of the three best pitchers ever is like an overstatement, look at his numbers and especially his advanced numbers, like what he was doing in the steroid era, it's absurd. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Like, an ERA plus of, like, over 200. And the average ERA plus is 100.
No.
He's doing the steroid era.
He was just unreal.
The ALE steroid era. Like,
one of my favorite ones was, I think it was in 99 or 2000, when Pedro was hurt against the Cleveland Indians in a playoff game. And he comes out of the bullpen because he couldn't start. And he fucking no-hit him for like 7 innings, but he couldn't throw over like 85 because he was hurt. And that was a juggernaut offense.
Oh, shit! That team had 4 Hall of Famers on it, that Indians team. Yeah, go ahead, Brad. Oh, shit!
Wow, you did that exactly the same as the time. One more, please.
Oh, shit!
Who?
What happened?
Oh, is that Kyle?
Oh, shit! Anyway. It's like,
that is what I'll be doing after the show.
Good deal. But like, to finish up like that Pedro thing, it's like, that performance was heroic. Like, because like, Pedro like came out in an interview after that and saying like, that was like career threatening back injury. Like him pitching through that. Like, it could have ended it all for him. And, like, he came out there 7 no-hit innings of, like, one of the best offenses baseball's ever seen.
It was unreal. Unreal.
Pedro was so fucking good, dude. He was so good.
According to Chris Cotillo, the Red Sox remained in touch with one Steven Matz. Not for nothing. Steven Matz, to replace Eduardo Rodriguez, Yeah, that's a fair.
Did he have a good year? I didn't pay attention to Steven Matz.
Yeah, he actually really had a really good year for the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah.
Okay. He can pitch in the AL East then. Okay, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
No qualifying offer, probably like a 3-year deal, not crazy money, but a talented pitcher who looks like maybe he put it together at like 27 or 20 years old.
I don't hate that. Don't hate it.
Nope. Don't lie. It doesn't excite you, right?
Yeah, it's not exciting, but it's like, yeah, as a replacement for Erod, I get it.
But Heim's not really going to go out and excite you. He's just going to build shit, and you're like, those pieces are working pretty fucking good.
You know, another thing I wish I would have been able to – I wish I asked Steve about. It was a bit late when I thought about it, though, is that Carlos Correa, like, wiggling his way into the hearts of Red Sox fans by just trolling Yankee fans.
All right, so speaking of which, what are your thoughts on his recent comments on Derek Jeter?
He's right. It's hilarious. Maybe in his early career, maybe I'm wrong. But, like, most of those gold gloves, Jeter did not deserve. Like, he just wasn't that good defensively. It's hilarious that, like, Carlos Correa is the championing guy for, like, the analytics nerds movement. It's funny to me.
To me, it just screams something that Yankee fans just don't want to accept. You're not a prime time destination for free agents anymore. If you want to go to the fucking Yankees, you don't say anything like that. So I think, you know, he really has no fucking interest in playing for the New York Yankees. And you just, how do you do that? By ripping the player who's probably the most beloved Yankee in the past 40 years.
Well, you know, he's never going to end up on the Yankees, and he's also never going to end up on the Marlins.
You're right. But what I'm saying is, you know, for the Yankees, rumors that they're, you know, at least talking to him, exploring, whatever. You say that shit, you know, all you have to do is start out cold and the fans are going to be all over you. It means he don't want to fucking play there, which makes me like Carlos Correa just a little bit more.
If he ends up with the Tigers, dude, can you imagine like him and E-Rod getting together and they're just like.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get paid from, I think it's Ilitch. Is that the owner?
Yes. Yes. Ilitch. Yeah. I don't know his first name because it's Mike Ilitch's kid. So.
Yep. He's like, we're rich as fuck. It's our time to get paid. It's our time. Yep. Check out.
Dude, like I saw the report came out like that the Yankees aren't willing to spend the top end money for shortstops, and I just thought it was funny. So they aren't going to get a guy like a Seager or a Correa or maybe Story. Not even Story.
No, they'll bring
this cold
in.
Cold is killing me.
By the way, Story's getting undervalued, and he could very well be the best shortstop out of all of them that get signed, like long term. He's really good.
I think, you know, they're in love with Anthony Rizzo. You know, they want Rizzo. And they haven't had a real good center fielder for a long time, so I wouldn't be surprised if they focus on Marte.
Are you trying to tell me that Brett Gardner is not a good center fielder?
He's not. He's a great penis.
Great, but true.
Yeah. Jesus. Very phallic-y.
Nice cock. That's one of my favorite internet memes of the last few years, the nice cock meme.
All right, gentlemen. When do we want to come back on? Sunday night? You good for Sunday?
I don't Sunday fucking night. Know.
I gotta say, Sapphire was pretty quiet tonight.
Yeah, she's taking a nap.
She was like, Steve's got her little, she was dreaming about Steve. There it is. Check it
out. Hot boy! Join us again next week, boys and girls, for our next installment of the Pesky Report.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
Wait, we're going to get fucking copyrighted like a motherfucker now. Not
you
good.
You might be Walt Disney, you fucking dead sack of shit.
Oh, wow.
Why did you say that? Nope.
I might have to.
It's like Walt Disney. It's like Walt Disney once said. You're listening to
The Rush and the Show. Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.